All right, so we have a few things happening in the car market right now that are very alarming for the market, especially on the dealer side. And from my end, I'm a used car dealer, and I've been able to buy some cars lately, and this has not really been the case in the years past for us to be able to load our lot back up at this time period. I've got a list of the cars that I bought in the last week, and later on in this video, I'm actually going to be telling you what we bought, how much we paid for them, and what we plan on selling them for. But I want to talk about other car dealers right now for just a little bit. And we have a sponsor for this video. It's Harry's, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But right now, I want to pull up this headline. It's good news for car shoppers right now, and automakers and dealers can't maintain the permanent car shortage that they hoped for. So what I really want to highlight about this this headline is that a lot of these auto manufacturers, they were planning on keeping their margins very high. They were planning on suppressing the level of inventory getting out to consumers. And in this way, they would be able to continue to really keep their margins really high to for on the dealer side, be able to keep the market adjustments up, keep all these add-ons that were just pure profit for a lot of these dealerships. And what they're finding now is it's really blowing up in their faces. And especially with a manufacturer like Stellantis, what we're seeing is that their inventory is growing at such a rate that their dealers cannot handle it. So what's happening right now is dealers are actually turning down allocations. And this is a big problem going forward for not only these dealerships. These dealerships are already filling it. And the reason why you can have quarters from what these manufacturers have had in the last two or three quarters where they're still turning out a bunch of profits is because dealerships were taking a lot of these vehicles, and really the manufacturers, they work on a wholesale model. So whenever you as a consumer buy a truck from Ford, GM, a Ram truck or whatever, that's not a sale for the actual auto manufacturer. That's only a sell for the dealership. So those numbers that are coming across, it's not like they're crushing their sales to consumers. What they are is they're still loading up their dealers, and they're doing a lot of channel stuffing right now. They're trying to find ways to get these dealerships to take these vehicles. Just in the example of Nissan, what we see is that they're paying their dealerships to take vehicles. They're paying them extra money to take vehicles. And then on the back end, whenever they're able to sell cars, they're pumping them an extra $1,000, $1,500 in the Murano's case. And we're going to see more and more of this happening as these automakers continue to get more desperate. And as what we're seeing already, these dealerships are turning on allocations. So what the manufacturers have to do is they have to incentivize these dealers basically to take these cars. And the way for them to do that is to give them cash to be able to take money off for the consumer, because the dealership at the end of the day, they still have to make money on the car. So if they have to lower their price so low to get a customer to buy it, then that money has to come from somewhere. And in a lot of cases, as we've seen pre-pandemic, what these manufacturers would do to pump out volume is they would give this money to the dealership so that they could turn and burn a lot of these cars. It was more of the volume game. But I want to pull this up too. So if we're saying that the car market is in a bad place on the ICE vehicle side, so you're thinking about the big trucks, the F-150s, your Ram 1500s, Chevy Silverados, it's not even close to as bad of shape as what we're seeing in the EV market. So you can see this from Automotive News, just came out today, that dealers are offering five-figure EV discounts to deal with some of this inventory. So we're seeing that a lot of these EVs, on average, they were discounted $6,000 in the first quarter. And that information comes from Cox Automotive. And we're seeing that's even worse on the EV side. You can I use this example all the time, and it's in the real world, your Ford Mach-E's and your Ford Lightnings. It is so bad for Ford. They swung and they missed on this. Now, the reason why they kept pumping money into this EV dream that they wanted to have is because that's what the stock market wanted to see. That's why you saw a lot of these other these publicly traded manufacturers or whatever, they wanted to get into this EV market, and they wanted it to explode in a big way. And really, at the beginning of it, everyone thought that this was going to be the thing. This was going to be the direction that we were taking. And it turned out not to be the case. You have all the early adopters that are already adopted, and most of them bought, what did they buy? They bought a Tesla. So now you have companies like Ford. I mean, in this article right here that we're looking at, the headliner is a Ford dealership. That's the picture that they're showing, because Ford is the company that's having the worst problem with actually getting these EVs to consumers, because nobody wants the Mach-E. If you have a Mach-E and a Tesla Model Y sitting next to each other, and the Model Y is, I mean, arguably the better vehicle, and the Model Y is cheaper than what you can go get these Mach-Es for. Yeah, Ford, their dealerships, and Ford as a company, they're going to have to lower their prices, because you either have to be better than Tesla when you're looking at this, or you have to be cheaper. So they have to be cheaper at this point. And even with this discount, what are we seeing? We're seeing that people are not choosing to buy any of these Mach-Es. You can go to any Ford dealership anywhere around the country, and they're stacking up everywhere. And on the Ford Lightning side, it's almost worse because of the price point that they have to get out of these Lightnings from what they've given them to these dealers. And we saw just a couple months ago that Ford stopped deliveries to these dealerships for these trucks because they can't buy them. I think in the ICE side of things, in the next couple months or so, you're going to see a lot more production cuts. We're already seeing more layoffs coming up. We're already seeing that dealerships, they have had to turn down these allocations. And on the used car side of things, that's what I see every day. What I'm seeing is the big problem for us is no sales going through these auctions. And that's going to be a problem on the new car dealer side and for used car dealers, because what's happened is that the new car dealers have paid way too much for these trade-ins. That's where the cars that I get at auction, that's where they're coming from. They're trade-ins to new car dealerships. So what we're finding is that these new car dealers have paid way too much for these trade-ins. So they need so much money out of them at the auction. And we're finding that used car dealers, they're not able to buy. And I've got some of the cars that we bought in the last week here. And I'll go over them in just a little bit. But right now it's weird because we've just finished tax selling season, tax refund season, whatever you want to call it. And typically during this time, I don't have any cars, or we'll have 10, 15 cars or whatever that we've been able to buy over the last few weeks. It's not been the case. We've actually been able to buy quite a few. And my lot is almost back to the point where we feel comfortable as far as our inventory goes and the levels. And usually we're freaking out trying to find inventory at this time of year. And we haven't really had to do that this year. We've been able to go to the auction. We've been able to raise our hand. We've been able to buy cars. What that's telling me is that these other car dealers, they didn't hit it like they were supposed to. And we're finding that okay, since they didn't do that, they probably got floor plans, their credit lines that they have to pay off. So that means they can't buy a lot of these vehicles that they have been typically wanting to buy. That's why we've been able to buy, and we've been able to find some deals, but I'll show you that in just a minute. But we do want to go to our sponsor right now. And, we want to thank Harry's, for sponsoring this video today. They're giving something special going on. Are you tired of subscriptions? With Harry's Shave and Suds bundle, no commitments are needed. Get an orange Truman handle with two blades, an 8-count pack of blades, plus a travel size body wash and exfoliating face wash, all for 18% off at just $27. Did you know that Harry's makes more than just razors? Their body wash smells amazing. Plus, their exfoliating face wash leaves your face cool, refreshed, and smooth. The Truman handle gives you ultimate control for the smoothest shave. It feels like driving a luxury car. Grab all of these goodies online at your favorite retailers like Target, Walmart, Costco, or more. Harry's is everywhere you are. Don't miss out. Check out the Shave and Suds bundle through the link below. And we want to thank Harry's for sponsoring today's video. And again, I just really want to thank Harry's for sponsoring today's video. But let's get back into it. I want to talk to you about some of the cars that we actually bought over this last week and a half. And I'll run through them. I know you guys like to hear what we buy and then the price points and what we're planning on selling to them. So I'll hit a few of these. The first one I want to is a 2007 Kia Spectra, and it's only got 84,000 miles. Now, regularly, we wouldn't be able to buy something like this in our price range. The kind of cars that I buy, we have to buy them and be able to sell them for $5,000 and under. So what that typically means is the mileage point is going to be like 150,000 plus miles. And this one's only got 84,000 miles. Every once in a while, we're able to buy something with that low of miles to be able to fit into our price point. But it's very, very rare for us to get into that. So with all these other cars that you're hearing, most of them are going to be 150,000 plus mileage. But this one was surprising to me. It's a 2007 Kia Spectra, 84,000 miles. We paid $2,400 for it, and we'll end up selling that one after fees and everything said and done. We'll probably list that one for $4,000, sell it for around there. And all these cars that you're hearing from me, on top of what I bought them for, I'm going to have a buyer fee. For example, on this Kia Spectra, we paid $2,400 for it. We've got a $240 buyer fee. We'll have an inspection on it. That's $30. We'll get it detailed. We usually pay $40-$45 for just a quick detail on our cars. We sell cheap cars and we want to roll them as quick as possible. So we don't do a massive detail on a lot of our cars. We're just trying to get as little money in them as possible. And most of these cars, we're going to have probably something small to fix on most of them. I think our average repair is somewhere around $200 per car. But we try to buy cars where we don't have to do anything to them. But obviously, with cars that we're selling under $5,000, we're probably going to have to fix something. But anyway, yeah, there's that Kia. We bought a 2008 Ford Taurus. I love Ford Taurus. They're some of my favorite cars. They're easy to work on. They're good cars and they're ugly, so not a lot of dealers like to buy them. So I buy a lot of them because we can buy them cheaply, which is, here's an example. 2008 Ford Taurus, we paid $1,600 for it. It'll be probably right around a $3,000 car for us. About 2008 Hyundai Santa Fe. It's got 170,000 miles. We paid $1,800 for it. It's going to be $3,000 car for us. Here's the gem, though. This is the one that I really wanted to highlight. Alex bought this because he knows I like this kind of stuff, and I'll probably end up driving it just for a little bit. I'm sure my wife's listening to this, but I'm going to drive it home just so she can see it. I might make her a ride in it with me, but it's a 1994 Ford Escort, but it's a station wagon. And it's so ugly. It's so ugly. It's beautiful. I love this kind of thing. My dream car, what I'm trying to find right now, is like a 2001, 2002 Ford Taurus station wagon that's been kept by like some old church lady that hopefully doesn't have any cats. And that's what I want to buy for me to drive around for a little bit. But I haven't found the perfect one yet. But when I do, I'm gonna keep it. But it's got 83,000 miles. He paid $1,400 for it. It'll be a $2,500 car when we sell it. If we sell it, if I don't keep it for my personal collection of one car, but it's probably not a $2,500 car. It might be a $2,000 car. This one we bought more for funsies than anything else. But 2001 Subaru Forester, we paid only $800 for it. It'll be $2,000 car. 2002 Ford Escape. That one's only got 144,000 miles. We paid $2,100 for it. It'll be $3,500. 2012 GMC Acadia. It's got 170 on it. Paid $1,800 for it. Probably a $3,500 car. If we don't have to put a timing chain in that one, those have been really bad lately on us having to do some kind of timing or whatever. If we do have to do it to it, that usually costs us anywhere from $800 to about $1,200. And then we'll price it accordingly after that. But we take the gamble on those Acadias because they sell really well for us. And there's a lot of cars that we will buy that we know have common issues, like maybe a transmission or like timing chain, timing code kind of thing that we have to deal with. Even though we know that we have to deal with that, we make sure we buy it cheap enough where if we do have to do that job, then we can know we can still make money on it. And Alex is the one who bought this, and hopefully we don't have to deal with that. But that's an example of a car where if we do have to do a major repair, we kind of bake that into the price whenever we buy it, because even if we do have to put that into it, we know we can still get out of it and sell it. And we've got a few more here, but let's, I want to run to a question, and we'll, towards the end of the video, I'll get, we got five more I can go over and talk about, but let's pull up one of Ron's questions. With the success of the Maverick and the sales slump in big trucks, do you think manufacturers will downsize the big trucks as a cost saver and make them more mainstream? Ron, I wish this was going to be the case. The problem is when these manufacturers, they don't make a lot of money on these small trucks, but they make an absolute ton of money on the big F-150s. And we see this F-150 versus the Ranger versus the Maverick. The reason why they didn't make a lot of Mavericks is because they didn't make a lot of money on them. So if they were pumping out these Mavericks and they were selling them as we see from dealerships that they're selling the Mavericks as quickly as they're getting them. So a company like Ford, we like to say that they're really stupid, but I mean, they could see that if there's a vehicle that's selling a lot, obviously they would pump production into that, unless in the case of this Ford Maverick, they're not making very much money. Cause obviously if they're making a ton of money on moving out these Mavericks, they would just keep pushing them out of these $25,000, $30,000, $35,000 little trucks. And it's not the case. So that is my read on it, is that they're probably not going to lean into this because there's not a lot of money to be made. They can probably make 5X on one F-150 that they can make on producing a Maverick. And that's why you're not going to see this split coming to where they're, okay, let's go to the volume game. Let's try to pump out as many Mavericks as possible, because we know people want cheap trucks. They know that. They're not stupid. They see the numbers. They see that they can sell Mavericks, and they're still not pushing production to the Mavericks. So that tells me they don't make enough money on the Mavericks. It's not good enough for their shareholders. It's not good enough for their bottom line. So we're probably not going to see a shift back to what we used to see. A lot of these smaller trucks, a lot more of the Rangers, what you used to have in Chevy, the little S10s. You're not going to see that because there's not enough money to be made in them. I wish it wasn't the case, but that's the case. All right, let's go back to a couple more cars that I bought. I bought a 2008 Ford Focus. We paid $1,500 for it. It's a Ford Focus, so even if we bought it right, it's almost a $2,500. Even if we had to pay up a little bit, and this one I think we probably did pay up a little bit, it's still a $2,500 car. So that's a good example. So there's some cars that no matter what we pay for them, they're only going to bring a certain amount. So even if we would have paid $1,700-$1,800 for that Ford Focus, and typically we would price a car that we paid that much for about $3,000. At the end of the day, it's still just going to be a $2,500 car because the market's just going to tell us, okay, nobody's going to pay $3,000 for this car. So some cars we're going to make less on, some cars we're going to make more on. We try not to get to a point where we're forcing ourselves to hit home run after home run after home run. We would rather do base hits. And the Ford Focus is the perfect example of a base hit. We know that we can sell it for $2,500. If we're going to make $800 on it, if we're going to make $1,200 on it, no matter what the price is, we know that we're going to only be able to sell it at like $2,500. So next one is a 2009 Chevy Malibu. We paid $1,500 for it. That's probably going to be a $3,000 car. So here's the, just to reiterate that example, that 2009 Chevy Malibu, we paid the exact same amount as we did for that Ford Focus. That Ford Focus is only going to be a $2,500 car. We're not going to be able to get $3,000 on it. Most likely, there's probably not that customer out there. But on the 2009 Chevy Malibu, we have found that we can sell those for $3,000, $3,500. So even though we paid the same amount for these two cars, the market's going to tell us that they'll only pay a certain amount because of what the car is. Ford Focus is a $2,500 car. It will always be a $2,500 car. And that Malibu, we can get a little bit more for. So we're going to end up making a little bit more on that Malibu and a little bit less on that Ford Focus. But it'll average out on our numbers. And on average, for all of our cars that we sell, I think we hit right at that like $1,200 is our average. If you just take all of our cars, throw them in a basket, and then pull out the number that we're going to make on it, $1,200 is what it is. So we bought a 2013 Kia Optima. We paid $2,500 for it. I hope it's nice. I haven't looked at that yet. Alex bought that one. So I want to look at that car. But it'll probably be a $4,000 car. I would assume it's probably nice for us to pay that much for it. That's getting close to the top of our range around this time of year, because we're entering in a slower season, and during the summer there's less money around, and we're able to sell vehicles for less money during the summer. So we have to pull our range back, and it's a weird dynamic for us, because we kind of have to flip a switch. So we just came from tax season where we could sell cars for $5,500 pretty easily. We don't like to sell them for that high of range, but we're able to get that kind of money because there's money in the system. And now we've even had a meeting between myself, my sales manager, Nate, and my mechanic, and my guy who, I mean, he buys a lot of cars, Alex, for me. And we have to just come together and say, okay, look, there's not a lot of money in the system, so we really can't sell anything for $4,000 or more. We really need to be at that $3,500 standpoint. So even right now, this Optima that we pay $2,500 for, that's really at the top of our range of what we can spend. And it's 100% different right now of what we can spend on a car wholesale than what it was a month and a half ago. So, and the last one, this 2014 Kia Forte. We like the Fortes. I know there's been a lot of people say they've had a lot of issues with them, but if you check them out and make sure that you don't have any timing issues, that's one of the biggest things that we've dealt with is a motor in a Kia Forte. So we have to check it before we buy it to make sure we're not having to deal with any kind of timing issues. That's the number one most common problem, at least we've dealt with. But as long as they're good selling cars, they look good. But that one we paid $2,300 for, so it'll be a $3,500, $4,000 car. But again, this time of year, we're going to be making a little bit less money because there's less money in the system. So probably right around that $3,500 price point for us. I want to thank you guys for watching. If you haven't already subscribed to this channel, it's a different channel than our main channel. So make sure you're subscribed if you're not. And like this video. And I want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm hitting the end on the line.